The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Happy New Year, John Hancock.
Back at you, big boy. Happy New Year. Welcome back to St. Louis. You got to skip town there for a
I did. A bit. I got out of here for a little bit down to Florida, but I'm back now, and we're back at it. Were you up late last night watching that football game?
I did. I watched a great ending. 25 points scored in the fourth quarter alone, and I was kind of hoping Ole Miss would pull it out, and they almost did, but they did not.
Yeah, and I know that you were out on the roads last night. I went across the street to pick up some food rather than cooking. And the weather last night was as strange as crazy. I can remember in a while. It felt like almost like tropical rain, but it was cold and really, really windy.
Very windy, yeah. We went out to dinner, and so on the way home, we drove through just a big downpour, you know, big thunderstorm. And by the time we got to our house, there was no rain at all. It was crazy
yeah.
night.
Yeah, crazy. Hey, speaking of crazy, John, have you been paying attention to what's been going on? Of course you have, up in Minneapolis.
Sure.
This whole immigration debate that's taking place. There's the President of the United States and Kristi Noem both put in a SWAT team of immigration officers who wound up flooding the streets of Minneapolis to the point where we had this altercation with the car. Put aside what's happened and that someone's died. And this all just seems so unnecessary that we had thousands of these ICE troops there. And as the result, we also had these protesters. When you had the mayor and the people saying, hey, look, this isn't going to make us safe. And then sure enough, we have this shooting.
Well, that was inevitably. Well, and it wasn't the first shooting that we've seen involving an ICE agent or a Border Patrol agent. But it was inevitably going to happen. And you've got a situation where a lot of the local folks there are up in arms. And the administration, you know, this is what they told us they were going to do. I was under the mistaken notion that they were going to go after criminals and felons and gang members that had entered the country illegally. But that's clearly not what this mission is. This mission is to root out anybody that's in this country illegally and remove them. And they've got numerical quotas that they're trying to hit, and they're sending these teams into mostly cities that have a large number of immigrant population.
Yeah, but they're flooding them in. It's not like they're sending in a couple hundred folks to go chase down thousands. They're sending in 1,000 officers. It's almost like they're wanting to incite what is happening. And I think that's part of the drive. As you and I have talked about before, Donald Trump wants to deport more people than Barack Obama. And that to hit that number, he's going to have to do almost 1 million people. And this is the way he's handling it. Well, Barack Obama was able to, deport over 1 million people without causing this type of chaos. You have to believe it's intentional.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they're doing. Somebody, was it the vice president yesterday, said they're going to go door to door, which probably is not constitutional, but it's what they're talking about. But you know, the shooting, you've got a situation now where the federal government is not willing to work with local authorities to investigate this case. That's problematic, and the president, the vice president, and the secretary of Homeland Security have already pronounced that the cop was justified in the shooting without any investigation taking place. I don't have a high level of confidence that there's going to be an active, thorough investigation of that shooting. You know, and I can't sit here and say the guy was unequivocally wrong, but he shouldn't have been in front of the car. And she shouldn't have been there in the first place. Both of those things are true.
All triggered by this administration surging in over 1,000 officers.
Yeah.
And it just seems all so unnecessary. Speaking of constitutional, there's a conversation happening right now in our country about whether or not the president can do what he did in Venezuela, John. I guess he's the president of that country now, too, if you listen to him. We went in and took out Maduro. I don't think anybody's upset about that, whether or not it was legal and the way that it was set up for them to go do this. And you can't help but scratch your head and realize that this may all be just about the oil. Am I correct?
It could be, yeah. And there hasn't been a lot of talk about reestablishing a democratic regime in Venezuela. I mean, I hope we get there. People of Venezuela deserve that. And it's not clear at all to me in selling the oil if the U.S. is going to do that. And according to the White House press secretary, they're going to do it to, for the benefit of the people of Venezuela and the people of the United States. I don't know how that all works. And what was interesting yesterday is that the Senate passed a war powers resolution that five Republicans joined all the Democrats in voting for and passing, including Missouri's Josh Hawley, who... the president took off after Hawley and the other four Republicans, Rand Paul and Lisa Murkowski, the usual.
Usual suspects, yeah.
But the president said none of them should ever be elected to office ever again.
Well, and the president's been saying a lot of things. I mean, now he's putting Cuba on notice, Colombia. I mean, it's almost like the guy that ran for president saying enough of the endless wars, enough of foreign intervention was a complete fraud because now he wants to essentially invade and have war with almost every country out there. Apparently, this new definition of our hemisphere, which has just popped up in the last 6 or 9 months, too.
Well, there was James Monroe. We have to step aside. And when we return, though, I've got some thoughts on Josh Hawley. I'm finding him to be a fascinating political figure. That's next on KMOX.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, John Hancock, football this weekend, wild card weekend, one of the best NFL weekends of the year, except, buddy, you're going to have that Prime streaming service going, which is a big pain in the neck.
For what?
To be able to watch the games.
NFL?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
It makes it harder and harder to watch these games, doesn't it?
Well, it's just, yeah, and you can't, well, I guess they aren't simultaneous games being played in the playoffs, but... you know, like if the Blues are on at the same time, yeah. And you when they, it
can't
is
hop
kind of
them back and forth.
No, it is kind of a pain.
And speaking of hopping around, that would be our own Senator Josh Hawley, who kind of was one of the folks who, from my perspective, led the insurrection up in Washington D.C. He'd been one of the most loyal people to Donald Trump. We've talked about the fact that he's jumped to the left on some union issues. It seems to me he's running for president. You got some thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, I find him to be a really fascinating figure. And yesterday, you know, joining with those other Republicans to vote for that war powers resolution, you know, I'm going to give him his due. He's got principles. He stands by them. And we're in an era right now where you don't see a lot of principles being applied to, particularly on my side of the aisle.
Does he, though, John?
Yeah, I think
this
he
is
does.
A man who used to be one of the strongest supporters of right to work, and now he's out doing union issues. One of the strongest supporters of Donald Trump, and now he's out there going after Donald Trump. Told us when he was the attorney general he wasn't going to be a ladder climber and ran for the United States Senate. I think this guy's got the principled backbone of a jellyfish.
No, I disagree. I think, you know, he is the embodiment of populism in a way that Donald Trump is not any longer. I think a lot of people were drawn to Donald Trump because of his populist rhetoric. But, you know, to your point, if you look at Donald Trump, the candidate versus Donald Trump, the president, there's not a whole lot of similarities there as we look a year into this term. Whereas Hawley, you know, that was a principled position. He believes that constitutionally it is the Congress's duty to authorize military engagement in a foreign country. And whether that's – and only Congress can declare war, of course. But that hasn't happened much recently. But I think, you know, I agree with his vote on this in this case. There's some stuff he's done that I don't agree with. But he has worked with people like Bernie Sanders on the health care issue. He led the fight for the folks that are in the toxic nuclear-infected landfills – here in St. Louis, and got that accomplished through Congress. And, I find him to be consistent in his application of his principles. I don't agree with all of his principles, but I do respect what he's how he's conducting himself right now.
Frank, let's mark the tape there. John Hancock said that he's showing some principled action by working with Bernie Sanders. That's got to be something that I never thought that I would hear come out of your mouth.
He is really an actual populist in the way that...
But where I disagree with you is I think it's all opportunistic.
You think it's
and
all
that's what populism is, I guess. You know, it's all opportunistic because he flips on so many things. Hey, look, I'm grateful that he's out there now supporting labor rights. I'm grateful that he's out trying to protect healthcare. But I'm not naive enough to think that this man won't change on a dime because I know him. I've watched it.
I don't know. I don't remember him being an ardent right-to-work guy. Maybe he was. I don't recall that of him. But he's been, certainly over the last several years, where he's agreed with Donald Trump, he's agreed with Donald Trump, and he's not afraid to disagree with Donald Trump, which I think is in short order a rare commodity in Washington D.C. these days.
Hey, how about those Epstein files? Gosh, can you believe what we're seeing in them, John? Oh, never mind. The Congress passed a law. Overwhelmingly, only one person voted against it. The president signed it into law. They are in violation of the law right now. Many people on my side of the aisle, and I don't know, common sense folks, thinks a lot of this distractions we're seeing around the world may be keeping the attention away from the Epstein files. Will we ever see the Epstein files while Donald Trump is president of the United States?
I sort of doubt it, and they're gonna have to release something. I mean, they did fess up that they had, 5 million documents in the Southern District of New York. So they're going to release a bunch of stuff. I think it'll be pretty heavily redacted. The one thing that I would be most interested to see would be the interview from the victims and what the victims disclosed in those things. And, of course, we didn't see any of that in the first dump last month. So, you know, I will be surprised if we get anything close to a comprehensive document dump.
With everything that's going on in Washington, D.C., we could sit here and talk for several hours, but we had a major development yesterday here in St. Louis.
Yeah, we did.
The largest county in the state of Missouri, the most important county in the state of Missouri, St. Louis County. We all know the Sam Page saga. He's not running for reelect. He's under indictment by the state's attorney general. He pulled out of the race. State Senator Brian Williams, someone I am helping and working for, hopped into that race. Yesterday, the assessor, the tax man for St. Louis County, Jake Zimmerman, announced that he's going to get into the race. Both he and Brian Williams saying some of the similar things about wanting to bring back stability and cooperation to county government. As someone who has a biased view, Jake's been in county government for over a decade?
Yeah, I think he's been there since 2011 or something. You know, that position was never an elected position before. But it did become that in 2010, and Zimmerman has been the assessor since. I think he's a legitimate challenge here to Brian Williams. He's been elected countywide. I would be surprised if his name is broadly well known. The assessor is not somebody that.
Yeah, he's the guy
about
that sent you the increase in your tax,
well,
property tax.
That would be his job. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but he's got some money and potentially has the ability to raise money. Now, I think Williams. One of the reasons that Sam Page is not running, I think, is because Williams came out of the gate so strongly. It wrapped up a lot of the significant Democratic donors early on. And he's, I don't know what his cash situation is, but he's got to be north of $500,000, I would think. So he's, you know, Brian Williams is going to be tough to beat. But Zimmerman, of all the names that were floated out there as potentially getting in, Zimmerman, I think, is probably the most significant.
Yeah, it will be an interesting to watch as these two guys go at each other.
How do you think they distinguish themselves? Because campaigns all, at the end of the day are about contrast.
Well, we saw it yesterday. Jake Zimmerman doing what he did when he ran statewide before and several other times. He kind of does this cartoonish approach of, hey, I'm a nerd and, you know, I may not look like the prettiest guy, but, you know, this is what I stand for and this is what I do. I think Brian Williams says, hey, look, you know who I am. You've met me. I've delivered for North County. I'm somebody who can work across partisan lines. He's shown that. I think they have some similar issues, and really it probably comes down to informing voters on where they're at. And you have to wonder if being involved in county government right now as the assessor is a hindrance or a help when you're running for a higher office.
Well, if we've learned anything over the last 10 years in this country is that the slogan "experience matters" is rarely used in political campaigns any longer. So that's true on my side of the aisle, and I suspect it's probably the same for Democrats.
Yeah, and of course, we've got the legislative session starting this week. The governor's getting ready to announce his plan to do away with the state income tax.
Yeah.
Sounds good. How do you pay for it?
Well, you're going to have to, first of all, it's going to be a lengthy phase out. And it will be replaced, I think, largely with sales taxes, and probably putting sales tax on things that currently are not taxed, like services. And you know, I don't think he's released the plan yet, though.
No, and his State of the State is coming at us. Hey, guess what? That's it for Hancock and Kelly.
All we got for you.
But we're going to stick around for Amy and Chris,
yes,
correct?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we are right here on the Voice of St. Louis News Radio 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.